My earliest memories, which are in the late 30s and then through the 40s and early 50s, winters were considerably different than they are now. Winter usually dependably started about the middle of November, and meaning that's when we got the first significant snowfall. And by, I can remember into April having snow on the ground. So that's that makes a long season. And not only that, but with snow cover, it was not unusual to have 10 below zero in November. It was not unusual to have 30 below zero in January. I can remember 35 below zero. Well, the snow was not melting. It just kept accumulating until we would have 3-4 feet of snow on the ground. Winters were fierce. But along about early November, when the barn was full of hay and the corn cribs were full of corn, and the first heavy frost had come and the leaves were down from the trees, and everything was drab and brown and boring, we looked forward to the change in the season. Really, almost a celebration was when we brought the wood stove in from the woodshed and set it up in the dining room. Of course, the kitchen wood stove, cook stove, had been there all the while because my mother used it all through the summer as well. It was a round oak heater, it was called. The thing weighed a ton, and we'd ask the neighbors to come, and we'd slide planks under this thing, carry it into the dining room, and try to line it up with where the stovepipe should go. And once they get the thing all lined up, and they would stand there and say, "Yep, I think we got her." My dad would say, "Well, we're going to check it out." And he would start the fire. Everybody would stand there in anticipation. Now, is the thing going to smoke? My mother's standing off in the bat. And you could tell if the thing wasn't just right, it'd smoke like everything. I mean, the room would fill with smoke. And then they had to readjust the thing. But if they had done it properly, they would all smile and go out in the kitchen and drink coffee and eat cookies and sort of celebrate that the stove was in place. Now, at the time, that's when we closed off the rest of the house. So we closed off the parlor, closed off the back bedrooms, closed off the upstairs bedrooms, except for the one that was supposedly heated by the stovepipe, because at that time, my two brothers and I, we all gathered now in this one bedroom. That's where we would spend the winter. These old houses looked enormous, and they looked like they must really be comfortable and doing well. And they were so cold. They just were. Now, having said all of that, the next preparation for winter, we had to enhance our wood pile. So we had to make wood. And making wood was an enormous project when you think about it. Now, mind you, there were no chainsaws. We had a crosscut saw. Each of us had an axe. So grab the axe, grab the crosscut saw, and out into the woods and find this old tree. And those who know about cutting wood know that you first have to notch the tree. You do that with an axe. You notch the tree in the direction that you want the tree to fall. And my dad had an uncanny ability to walk around the tree and look at its natural lean. You can't decide where the tree should fall. The tree knows where it wants to fall. It's for you to figure that out. And so you notch it in the direction that it looks like it's going to fall. And then you grab this crosscut saw, which is, 6 feet long or so, with wicked, wicked teeth on it. And grab one handle, heat the other handle. And one of the things that you learn in using a crosscut saw is that you never push. You always pull it. And if you try to push it, you jam it up. Benches. So, pause, pulling, and I'm pulling, and pause, pulling, and I'm pulling, and pause, pulling, and I'm pulling. And my arms are about to fall off. And then we hear a cracking noise. Oh, I've been waiting for that noise. And my dad yells in that time-honored announcement, "Timber!" And the tree crashes to the ground with explosion of broken limbs flying in the air. And that's just the beginning of our work. If you thought that cutting it down was a problem, Because now, with our axes, we trim off the smaller branches, and then we start sawing the trunk into probably 6-foot hunks, and we pile the brush in a pile for the rabbits, Pa says. Gotta have a place for them to spend the winter. And when we've done 2 or 3 trees or more, we hitch up the team, Frank and Charlie, to the bobsled. And I can't comprehend the fact that these huge hunks of oak wood must have weighed hundreds of pounds. We would roll those logs up onto the sleigh, and we would haul them up to the house, back of the house, put them in an enormous pile. And then Pa'd get on the phone to Alan Davis and Bill Miller and Freddie Rapp, and he'd say, "Can you guys come over and help saw wood on Saturday?" "Sure." And the expectation is that each one of them will have the same thing sometime or another, because everybody changed work with each other. And Guy York, a neighbor half mile away, had a circle saw. It was about 4 feet across, and there would be the loudest noise you could imagine as that circle saw bit into the oak wood, and one man was in charge of throwing away, meaning he stood holding the piece of wood to be cut off and then threw it in a pile. And it was dangerous, my gosh, it was dangerous. There were no guards of any kind. That big circle saw ran free, its teeth cutting into the saw, cutting off your arm if it got in the way. And they all go home tired. It's a miserable job. Now here's this big pile of wood, and what's the next thing we're faced with? One thing I learned very early on is there, as almost everything else in farming, there's a skill to doing it. And splitting wood is right up toward the top. Because one of the things that my dad taught me was how to read a piece of wood. And you strike that block of wood with a splitting maul so that you work with the wood rather than against it. And what a thrill it is when that happens. Because when you're learning, you either strike over the block, you miss the block, you hit it on the side. It requires a fair amount of eye-hand coordination to do this. And we pile the wood in the woodshed, and then the duty of the kids when we were 3, 4, or 5 years old was to take wood from the woodshed and put it in the wood box in the kitchen and in the dining room. So there was a lot involved in making wood. Sometimes people say things like, "Well, when you make wood, you're twice warmed." How foolish that is. You are many times warmed when you make wood.